the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Is it Monday already? Is it really Monday?
Unfortunately, I believe it is.
Seems like just, you know, a couple of days ago it was Friday. Okay, well, we're back. Here we go. We're going to get things started once again. That's right. Square one. But that's fine. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Bucket Strategy Investing is the program all about your money. We welcome you here once again, ready to start this new week with Professor Rick Plum, who's here with me. I'm Johnny Dean, and we're here, as always, from Lucia Capital Group. The main topic for the next couple of segments is going to involve some comparisons between both the Roth IRA and the traditional IRA, and the Roth 401k and the traditional 401k. Yeah, there's a Roth 401k. Some folks aren't aware of that. Which option might be better for you? Are you eligible to contribute? And if so, when does the tax deductible up front make more sense than tax-free on the back end? Or maybe it's the other way around. Which one? Or is it the 401k versus the IRA? Which one do you pick? Now, there are benefits of all of these, and naturally, it depends on your own individual situation. So we're going to talk about Roths and traditionals and 401ks and all that stuff for at least a little bit. That's coming up here in just a couple of moments. Now, if you need to get in touch with the Brain Trust right now about anything related to your money, any concern you have from a financial standpoint, you give us a call at this number, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. We got all the lines open right now. Brain Trust, of course, is standing by. You can also email us. You head over to wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Now, Professor Rick Plum, he's a certified financial planner, of course. We're ready to talk about whatever is on your mind from a money standpoint. You can also reach the professor or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group off the air by calling this particular number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Professor Plum, of course, is our longtime Brain Trust advisor, here to help you out with your money strategies. How do you know that you're on track with your retirement goals? Have you asked yourself that question? How can you be sure that your financial plan is addressing your most vital needs when it comes time to retire? Well, you ask the Brain Trust at Lucia Capital Group. Again, the number to reach them off the air, 800-644-1150. Our number on the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. So I suppose in some respects, Professor Plum, when you're talking about traditional versus Roth anything, it comes down to what? Tax-deferred investing versus tax-free investing? What?
Well, people would make you believe that taxes are the only thing that are involved. And while that is a main motivating factor, it's not the only thing that makes the determination between the Roth side of the house and a traditional tax-deductible side of an investment, whether it's IRA or 401k. Other people think that age is the only thing that matters. You know, if you're young, regardless of taxes, do the Roth. If you're old, regardless of taxes, do the traditional. And again, it's not the right answer. And it does depend on you, your circumstances, and what you're trying to accomplish with this money. So if you're looking at just the generic rules of thumb, people typically make more money in their later years than they do in the early years. So therefore, the Roth is always for the young person and never for the old person. And it's always good at the beginning because you're never going to be in a higher tax bracket or a low tax bracket when you're young, and you're never going to be, the same bracket when you're older. It's just not the case.
Yeah,
it's very specific to who you are doing and what you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly. And you mentioned that stood out because we had a couple of calls last week that I recall where you had suggested.
Typically older individuals saying, I'm too old for a Roth.
Exactly. I thought you had to be younger to have it make sense. Now, younger can. I mean, the more time you have.
Sure. And we talked about that too. But I mean, 25 is a great time to have a Roth IRA. It's a great time for a lot of things. But
sure.
Hey, it's not that it's bad when you're 55, 65, or even 75 and still working. It's all a matter of what's going on in your specific life. I have seen in many cases where younger individuals, single, don't have homes, making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, 25% tax bracket, living in a state with a state income tax bracket, so they're paying quite a bit of their money in taxes right out the chute, and they still should be doing a Roth IRA, not for retirement necessarily, but because they want to build up money for a first-time home purchase. I think that the Roth IRA, even for somebody in a relatively high tax bracket, if they're going to have it for at least 5 years, building up that pool of money for a first-time home purchase, where else unless you've got parents that are just giving you a boatload of money, where else are you going to get the down payment for that first time home purchase? And where else are you going to do it on a tax favored basis?
Yeah, let's start with that. Let's start with the Roth. For people who don't know, there are obviously, I think a lot of people know that you put money in and it can potentially grow tax free. Talk about some of the ways you can get the money out of there tax free.
Well, most people know about the main one, which is retirement, 59 and a half. And there's two sides of the issue. There's you have to have a Roth IRA to get to the earnings, let's call it that way, to get to the earnings tax free. You have to have a Roth IRA for at least 5 years. That is a bottom line, there's no exception to that one. To get earnings tax-free from a Roth IRA, you have to have had a Roth IRA for at least 5 years consecutively. Now, in addition to that, once you've met the five-year rule, now there's some other triggers that create the exception to taxation. Most common is age 59 and a half. Once you get to 59 and a half and have had a Roth IRA for at least 5 years, now any distribution of any type of money from that Roth, whether it's principal, whether it's contributions, whether it's conversions or earnings, it becomes a qualified distribution, meaning it's tax-free. But age 59 and a half just may be the most popular, most well-known, but there are others. Disability, unfortunately, if you are disabled and you have had at least 5 years of Roth IRAs, now you have qualified potential distributions where everything's tax-free. Yeah, unfortunately, you die. 5 years and death gets your heirs, in this case, distributions from the Roth IRA that are tax-free. But one of the more important ones, I think, for younger people, or actually at any age, because it's not age-driven, is first-time home purchase. You can get to up to $10,000 of the earnings at any age, tax-free, from a Roth IRA if you use it for the down payment on a first-time home purchase. Now, so that allows you to build up a pretty sizable little nest egg. So it's the contributions come back for any reason at any time without any issue, so you can take your contributions out, and then over and above that, assuming you've had it for 5 years, you can take out up to $10,000 of earnings. So let's say you start doing it at $5,000 a year. Now you're 20 years old, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. When you're 26, you find a house that you want to buy. You've put in $25,000 of actual contributions to the plan. Now you've got some earnings in there too, and let's just for sake of argument say you had $10,000 of earnings over those several years. You've got $35,000 in your Roth IRA. You can pull 25 of it out because those are your contributions, tax-free, penalty-free, no questions asked, fill out the 8606, tell the IRS to get away from that, and you can take out another $10,000 and it will be tax-free if you use it for the first-time home purchase, because we've satisfied the rules. 5 years and we were able to take it out for the first time over. That's a $35,000 down payment, if you can get it to grow that much. But the contributions and the growth up to the $10,000 growth mark is a great way for younger people to be able to do this.
And again, keep in mind that the five-year rule applies to whenever you happen to open your first Roth. You could have opened a Roth.
Well, I could open a Roth today.
Yeah.
Or 2015. Now, 2015 was a little while ago. And my five-year clock, they go by tax years. So it doesn't matter when in the tax year you made the contribution. It matters what tax year was the contribution made for. So if I start one today, my clock starts ticking January 1, 2015 for the 5 years. So 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. In 2020, I can pull the money out and up to the $10,000 of earnings tax-free if I use it for a first-time home purchase. Now, a first-time home purchase, I was saying it could be helpful for almost anybody. You don't have to be 20 years old, 25, 20, 30 years old to get your first-time home purchase. You just can't have lived in a house that was your primary residence that you owned any part of in the past 2 years. So if you had, unfortunately, lost your house through the downturn several years back, you're finally getting back on solid footing, your credit scores are back up to where you need them to be to buy a house, now's a time where you could potentially use your Roth, assuming you haven't done it sometime in the past. You can use up to $10,000 of the earnings for the Roth. This is not an age-driven issue. You've been renting for the past 5 years since you lost your. You've got a Roth IRA. You have some earnings. Your wife has a Roth IRA. She has some earnings. You can take up to $10,000 each out of a Roth IRA for a first-time home purchase. Now, that's not per event. That's just a lifetime number. So I can't multiple times if I've lived in a different property and rented for a couple of years, and then I want to buy another first-time home purchase. You know, you may be able to qualify as a first-time home buyer more than once, but you can't take out more than $10,000 in your lifetime as a qualified first-time home buyer distribution.
Yeah, they actually do have rules, or they have a written description. First-time home buyer
we
is,
do, yes.
Even if you it technically isn't your first home.
And it doesn't mean that I actually don't even own real estate. I may own lots of real estate. I'm not living in a property that I own as my primary residence. That still qualifies me.
877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, we got more coming up here. If you have questions, I got a couple of emails on this very topic, the Roth that we're talking about. But we'd love to take your phone calls. 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group, ready to talk to you about your money when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean here with Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. We're here to answer questions. 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We'll also get to some of the emails. I know we've had some people email us on this very topic, bring out some interesting questions for people. So we'll get to those emails in a bit. You can email us at wealthed.com. And at wealthed.com, you can find out where our next workshop is going to be. That's right. We're kind of all over the country, different places at different times of the year. And you can find out just by going over to wealthed.com. There is a live events tab. You can click on that, find out where the schedule is, where the Brain Trust will be hanging out. And you can join us, too, at any one of those locations. It's all free. Show up, bring your pad and paper. Actually, do you supply a pad and paper?
Most of the time, we have a pad and paper on the chair.
Okay, good.
Supplied by the hotel or resort that we're...
That's right, because I can't see you actually carting over pads and whatever. Anyway, just bring your questions with you and be prepared to ask them either before, during, or after the workshop. So anyway, check it out. It's at wealthed.com. It is all free. Okay, 877-PLANNER, let's take a call or two. We do have two lines open, 877-PLANNER. We're going to stay on topic. We will talk to the always riveting Rosie in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, John. Yes, I've never heard that one before.
I know. It's old. Yeah, I apologize. I take that. Hey, let's have that stricken from the record. What's up?
I'm calling because you guys are talking about Roth, and I'm curious to know what would be the purpose for having a Roth IRA as opposed to just having your money in a savings account. If you can access the money at any time, the money that you put in, why not just keep it in a savings account?
Oh, good question.
Well, if I can access the money at any time and I have the potential for tax-free growth, why not keep it in the Roth?
Okay, you have a point there.
Is this a counterpoint, or what are you doing?
Sure, why not?
This
is where I actually like using the Roth IRA, again, back for younger people or for any age if they have this issue. If we're trying to build an emergency fund, people will say you got to build the emergency fund before you can invest, and it's true. You got to have some money on the side, but I like building it up inside the Roth IRA. If I'm going to make a contribution, maybe I can save $2,000 or $3,000 a year, and so I'm putting it into the bank account that's earning less than 1%, and then when I finally get that funded, then I can start investing in my Roth. I'd rather do it inside the Roth, and then let that grow, because I'm going to have a hard time making up those contributions later on if I haven't. And if I need an emergency, if I have an emergency, I can get to the principal. And how much earnings am I really making right now on a savings account? About almost nothing. And so over the years, if I need to get into the money, I can get into almost 100% of it with maybe a couple pennies left over for earnings. And if it's truly an emergency, I may even take that. But I like using it and build the discipline of saving. And once you, because then as you increase your contribution, as you get to the point where at some point you can max out the contribution to the Roth IRA, then you have that money available and you can start building your personal emergency fund outside of it as you continue to fund the Roth IRA. But the money is already in the Roth IRA, that then you can switch the investment to something more aggressive. You can't just later on switch a savings account over to the Roth if you're already saving as much as you can in the Roth IRA. So I do the emergency fund first. Most of the time you can have it in a savings account if you want it in a savings account for an emergency fund. Just build the discipline of saving into the Roth. Keep increasing the contribution that you're making to the Roth until you hit the maximum amount. Once you hit the maximum amount, then we can deal with trying to build something else personally, or we're going to look for another place like your 401k. I hope you're doing the 401k with the matching contribution as well. But so all these things, I think, come first, and then you can always access the contributions, the cumulative contributions for an emergency, as long as you didn't lose them, but it's there, it's ready to go. So it's not a question of why do the Roth instead of the savings account. Is why would you do a savings account instead of the Roth? Because a Roth is an account, not an investment. I can have a savings account under the umbrella of the Roth, and it will do pretty much the same thing for me either way, except for with the Roth, for leaving it there and getting tax-free, whereas with the savings account, I don't.
How's that for an answer, Rosie?
That's great. That covers it.
Okay, good. I figured your head was spinning. If you need some more help, hang on, okay? All right, thanks, Rosie. Appreciate it.
People forget that you can actually, and this is what both a good thing and a bad thing about a Roth IRA, you can actually access the cumulative amount of your contributions that are in the account. And it doesn't have to be that one account. You can have multiple Roth IRAs. The IRS is looking at it as one big pool of Roth money, and they're looking at how much have you contributed, have you taken any of those contributions out previously, and is there any amount of basically an accounting ledger of contributions still in your Roth world that you can pull out tax-free and penalty-free.
So, okay.
Now, if you do take them out, you've got to tell the IRS what you're doing.
Okay, yeah. That was my question. You could have a Roth that you put $5,000 in, and it was just a killer stock, and it's now, you know, grown with earnings to $10,000.
Right.
So you have $10,000 in one Roth, and you have, more money, another $5,000 in another Roth, so you got, you know, 10 of principal, 5 of earnings, and you go to the one with all the earnings and take $10,000 out?
It doesn't matter because they're not looking at the specifics. I've seen this also where people will do conversions. They've got contributed capital and they can do conversions, and they're under 59.5, and they've got a sizable number, and they start taking, they basically have the interest or the distributions from whatever the investment is sent to them directly.
Yes.
Maybe it's a bond fund or something. And they're saying, well, it's the earnings. I can't touch the earnings. The IRS is not accounting for it as earnings. They're accounting for it as, what is coming out of the account? Yes, we can attribute it exactly to the earnings. But as long as you have contributions, cumulative contributions left in the IRA world, the Roth IRA world, you can say, well, actually, it's the contributions coming out first. Because it's not so tightly recognized that there's a dollar
right.
of earnings, a dollar of this. It's an accounting ledger for what we've got. Now, when you are taking distributions before you get to 59.5 in 5 years and all the other issues that potentially make it a qualified distribution, you will receive a 1099. And the 1099 may say something to the effect of it's a early distribution and the IRA custodian has no idea what you're doing with it. They have no idea what your contribution is, cumulative contributions are. They don't think about it other than, hey, you took some money out of your Roth. And so what you do is either you or your tax preparer, you have to let your tax preparer know what's going on. They file a form along with the rest of your tax return that accounts for it and determines how much, if any of it, is taxable. And
yeah.
So that's why you want to keep a little bit of track about how much you've put into it over the years so that you can get that money back out.
Yeah, anytime the IRS hears that you're taking money out of an IRA, whether it's Roth or traditional, it generally needs to be accounted for on your tax return. Doesn't mean you're going to owe taxes on it, but it just means you need to account for
and
it.
And people will get upset, too, where they have all their money. They've been doing a Roth IRA for years, and they've got all this money accumulated. They're 58 years old, and they moved the Roth IRA to another custodian, and now they're 59, 60 years old, so they know they've had a Roth IRA for 5 years, but the custodian has only had the money for 2 years. They have no idea that you do or don't. Many of them will keep track and try to find out when you started, but some won't, and they'll just say, hey, we've only had it for 2 years. They took a distribution. Fine, we're giving a 1099.
Exactly.
Because they don't know.
That's why you need to have an explanation. Okay, so we got to take a break here. We just got a couple more emails on this. It generates a lot of interest. And if you have any questions that you want to either email us, which you can do at wealthed.com, or give us a call, because we have a couple of lines open, 877-PLANNER is our number, 877-752-6637. We have one from Megan. Daniel's got a question. We'll get that coming up here. Both of them seem to have concern Roth IRAs. And hey, we're still going to talk about Roth or traditional. When do you decide that? There are a whole bunch of different things you need to, consider. Factors that are involved. Is age a big factor, as Professor Plum sort of brought up earlier? Maybe not. What about taxes? Is that a big factor? 877-PLANNER, our number. We got some lines open right now. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, coming right back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Ah, yes, sweet home, I guess Chicago in this case. But we're all over the place, all over the country. You can see us, hear us, watch us, whatever it is you want to do. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, answering your money questions on this program every day. And every week, too, off this program, there's another show that we do, and it's a lot of fun. It's quick. It's about a half hour, and it's the Social Security Show. We get so many calls on Social Security that we devoted an extra program to it at wealtheds.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealtheds.com, our website. Social Security Show every Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. You can join us, get your Social Security questions answered. You can send us an email and ask us whatever questions you have. We have an open phone line, too, during the program, which you can call 800-838-0483. If you didn't get it there, it's at wealtheds.com. That's the place you can go. You see it, hear it, watch it, ask your questions, and be highly entertained, may I say. Tuesdays, every Tuesday, 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern, Social Security Show, wealtheds.com. All right, back to the phone lines, 877-PLANNER. We still have two lines open, so fill them up, 877-752-6637. Jim is up next in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, thanks for covering the subject so enthusiastically.
Sure.
I got a couple quick questions that are somewhat related. I have two daughters graduating soon from college, and I was hearing about your Roth IRA. Is there a minimum age to start that? Is there a minimum to open it and maintain it?
There's no stated minimum age, and there's no stated minimum amount. Now, that it doesn't mean that you can't, that all custodians will let everybody of any age open it. But there's no minimum amount. And so you can find an IRA custodian that'll let, I've seen 2 and 3 year old individuals who do modeling have Roth IRAs. You know, the only requirements for a Roth IRA are you must have earned income. There's no age requirement, either early or still working at age 97, you could technically have a Roth IRA. But so there's no age restrictions. It's all subject to the custodian. I've seen custodians that will not allow it for anybody under the age of 18. I know custodians that will. Now, as far as the minimums, that depends on where you're looking to invest the money. Many brokerage IRAs, Roth IRAs, you know, require $1,000 to open them. They require $2,500 to open them. The brokerage accounts don't want a $50 account. And there's also a fee associated with almost every brokerage IRA where you're buying stocks, mutual funds, and other things. There's a, you know, a $10 fee, a $25, $35 fee with the IRA. So doing a $50 Roth IRA is pretty good. Small IRAs, if you wanted to get them started, I've seen credit unions and other accounts that will open and do less, smaller minimums. But then again, you're not going to get any growth out of it. So it's all a matter of what's happening. But typically, there's no age bracket, and there may be a minimum set by the investment. You know, some investments won't accept any investment, personal investment, Roth or whatever, for less than $2,500 or $5,000. The mutual fund or whatever it is has a minimum investment amount that says, I don't care how what the ownership is, you can't put less than X amount of dollars in here. So it's going to be a little bit on the brokerage, the custodian, and those issues.
But federal law.
There are no federal rules to how much you can how little you can put in. There's no federal rules on age. You can be as young or old. To have a Roth IRA, you must have earned income, and your income must be under the specific threshold for your filing status. Other than that, it's up to the custodian to accept or not accept that size of an account.
I see. Okay. So if these weren't earning wages, it would make sense then.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's a great way. Early 20s, I'm assuming, Jim. I mean, if they don't have one, get the at
earlier
least,
the better to get them started.
Yes, get the at least what we were saying. Get the 5-year clock started for them, so that at some point, if they want to ever buy a house or whatever, they may have access to those funds.
Yeah, that was exactly. I thought that was very important insight there. That they, that's the age that they'd like to be buying a house or
Right,
and they usually don't have any down payment.
And unless you're just going to give them $50,000 for a down payment, which doesn't happen all that often, it's
hence
tough.
My call. Yeah.
Hence the call. Yeah. I mean, my son is closing escrow this week on his first residence, and he's not getting a big down payment from his dad either, that loser dad that he has. And he did it through a combination of an IRA that he started, Roth IRA, they started when he was 17, and also 401k contributions, Roth 401k contributions that he made at his first employer that he was in years, and then recently switched and he made all over to a Roth IRA. And so he has quite a bit of Roth contributions available to him and some earnings available to him for the first time down home purchase.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Jim, that they can put up to the amount, currently it's $5,500 for people who are under
50.
The age of 50. And if they can only put in the amount, I'm sorry, if they make less than that, they can only put up to the amount that they actually have made. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And then slightly related, we've had to pull money out of our own IRA to pay for tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Which was not a lot more than we thought because of the penalties involved.
It's for qualified higher education. There shouldn't be a penalty.
Well, and I think that maybe that's where you made the mistake as well. Because we've had to do quite a bit of it. And I guess that's something we might have to go back and look at now that you mentioned that. And I don't know if we can, we might have to resubmit our taxes at that point.
Yeah, I'd want to look at and see what penalties I'm paying and why. Because if my qualified higher education was $1,000 and I pulled out $20,000 from my IRA, even if the money didn't go directly to to my bank account, and so I paid $20,000 out of my checking account, because the tuition was due, and then a couple months later I needed some money to do something else and I pulled the money out. There's a time horizon, and it doesn't matter where the money actually went, as long as you have the expense to justify the distribution in the appropriate time horizon, penalty.
Yeah, something we're going to have to go back and take a look at. Well, I appreciate the subject. I really do.
Well, Jim, thank you for the call. If you have any other questions, hold on. I said we do get a lot of questions on Roths. There is no age limit. There is an income limit, as
yes.
You said. So,
but the income limit, especially for somebody just getting out of college, is fairly high. They should be able to do Roth IRAs.
Well, they should. Although I'll tell you what, if they're making more than what is it?
117.
That phases you out completely.
No, that's the beginning of the phase.
Beginning.
And that's
okay.
2016. It was a little bit less than that last year for 2015.
Right. Oh, and you should mention, too, that you still can if you...
Right. And as of today and as of the next couple of weeks, we can still make contributions today for last year's tax return, whether it be a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. We cannot make contributions for 401ks for last year as an employee. That has to come out of our paychecks that occurred during the year. But an IRA is a different game, and the IRA can be done all the way up until the due date of your return, not including extensions. So we're talking about April 18th of this year. Normally it's April 15th, but you can make it and still have it count for last year, whether it's a traditional IRA or whether it's a Roth IRA. Now, traditional IRAs have limits on who can deduct the contribution. Anybody who is working, has earned income, and who is not at the required minimum distribution year yet can actually contribute to a traditional IRA. That's not the issue. So if you're making $1 million a year and you have a 401k, profit sharing plan, defined benefit plan, pension plan, whatever you want to, you can still contribute to a traditional IRA if you're under the age limit for required minimum distributions. The question is, can you deduct the contribution? And if you make too much money, you're over the certain threshold, which is $98,000 for this year, 2016, then you cannot deduct all or any, if you go too high, of that contribution. You can still make the contribution, you just can't deduct it. So the question is, do I want to make a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution? Well, if I'm at 120 as a married couple, no, I don't want to make a non-deductible traditional IRA because I can't deduct it. And I can still do a Roth IRA. So it's much better to do a non-deductible Roth than a non-deductible traditional. So how we go about doing it depends on, A, what you're eligible for, what you can do with it, and how is it going to affect you in the future.
Yeah, there are all kinds of things to think about, whether you're considering a traditional IRA, Roth IRA. We haven't even gotten into the traditional 401k versus the Roth 401k.
Right.
I mean, there is actually a Roth 401k that's out there. And I think people might say, well, hey, Roth 401k, is that work exactly like an IRA? Well, no, it doesn't work exactly like an IRA because first and foremost, it is a 401k.
So it works like a 401k with the exception of a slight difference on the taxation once you get out to the appropriate ages.
Exactly.
And that first-time home thing I talked about for IRAs, Roth IRAs? Not available for a 401k.
No, but you because it's a 401k, you actually have some greater limits.
A lot greater limits, 18,000 instead of 5,500.
Or if you happen to be 50 or over.
24,000 versus 6,500.
That's right. So these are just some of the factors to consider. Okay, also we had a couple of questions on the education thing that you mentioned regarding Roth. So I don't know, Clem, if you're still there, hold on. We'll get to that question when we come back. We got others standing by, still a couple of emails to go over on this topic. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, coming right back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Well, not necessarily 24 hours to go. But another hour to go after this, so that's pretty good. You can actually access the Brain Trust just about any time of the day that you want. You can go to wealthed.com and find us there in some form or another. But we do have another hour coming up next hour. Still have some stuff I wanted to talk to Professor Plum about. We didn't necessarily get a chance to finish all this traditional versus Roth, so there's that. We have a lot of these estate planning questions that were left over from last week. We've also got some, old-fashioned advice, maybe outdated advice that's being... perpetrated out there. We're going to talk to Professor Plum about some of the things that you shouldn't really pay attention to anymore. 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER. Back to the phone lines. Clem, give us a call back. I know you dropped off the line, so we'll move next to Dave in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
So what's up?
I have a question on a tax return I'm going to have to file.
Okay.
Years ago, I inherited two houses.
Okay.
One is a rental, and the other was just a vacation home that was used by the family.
Okay.
Now, the sales prices on both houses are going to be less than their when I inherited them.
Okay.
I understand that with the rental, I'm going to have to recapture the depreciation, which I guess will just add to my loss.
It'll actually take away from your loss, but yes.
I mean, take away from my loss. But, so I guess I just report that sale with the...
You're
right,
somehow reflecting that loss and then the effect of the depreciation recapture.
Right, that's where, you may want to have an accountant help you with it. There's some forms. And let's say that you inherited it at $300,000, you've been depreciating it at $10,000 a year for the 6 years, so you've depreciated $60,000, and you sell it for $250,000. So you have a $50,000 loss. So what you're going to do is recapture $10,000 because your basis went from $300,000 to down ten. So your basis was $240,000. You sold it for $250,000. So that first ten of from the basis up is going to be a recapture. So you'd recapture $10,000 worth of the gain, or with $10,000 worth of the depreciation, but nothing else. But you don't get a tax loss of $50,000 on it because that's going to offset the recapture. On the personal property, on the vacation property, again, let's say you inherited it for $300,000 and you sold it recently for $250,000. It's a personal property. Unfortunately, you don't get a loss for that. It's just...
I see.
There's nothing there.
Yeah. But you say there are some special forms that have to be filled out with this, on this return?
On the rental property, yes.
Yeah.
And that's where...
All right, that's what I need to know. Thanks very much.
And that's where accountants earn their keep. That's where they're worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for the call.
A good tax preparer that knows all these 4797s, 4979.
I've known people who go through all that, and they love it. It's what they do for a living. They don't even have to look it up anymore oftentimes. They'll tell you.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's
somebody who's dealt with that.
23-3 3-stroke 7G5 something.
Yeah. And you want somebody that knows it that well. You don't want somebody who's, well, I've never actually done this before. Let me go look it up. It'd be a lot better to have somebody, oh, we deal with rental properties all the time. Now, hopefully he's had somebody helping him with his rental properties, keeping track of the depreciation, filing it the right way, doing his Schedule E every year, and using them to just take care of the sale is going to be. But that's it's not the easiest accounting the world.
No, it isn't. 877-PLANNER. If you want to email us, you go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com, at the Find Your Answer link. I had one here that was something you'd brought up earlier in the hour, Professor, so I want to do it here. I don't have the name on this, but it was just a quick question on the Roth, which says, a first-time home purchase resets after a certain number of years. Am I right about that?
Well, you are and you're not. The amount of money that you can take out of the IRA or Roth IRA doesn't reset. It's a $10,000 lifetime distribution, either from a traditional IRA or of the earnings from a Roth IRA or of recently converted principal from a Roth IRA. So you have to look at it in that respect. But let's say I only use 5 of it for this last house that I bought, and then I move out of that house and I'm renting for 4 years, and then I buy another house as a primary residence, I qualify again for the first-time home purchase because I have not lived in a house that I've owned for at least 2 years. But I don't qualify for the $10,000 again because I already used 5 of it earlier in my example. So now I'm only eligible for the 5 of the remaining portion of my lifetime distribution for a first-time home purchase. So the amount doesn't reset. You can reset your ability to have a first-time home purchase, but you cannot reset your distribution if you've already used it.
Yeah, so you're considered a first-time home buyer after passed since what?
Since if you are not living in the property that you are currently using as your primary residence.
After,
if you don't own the primary residence that you're living in.
Right. So if you sold your home maybe at a loss a few years back, and you were out renting or whatever, and you're waiting for a good time to buy, and all of a sudden you find out 3, 4, 5 years later that you decide, I've got enough money and I want to buy it, you are actually considered to be at that point a first-time home buyer. You may have owned homes through your whole adult life.
You may have owned real estate for that whole period of time too, but you didn't own the property you lived in. That's a key. The primary residence you're living in. I may own, and maybe I own a primary residence right now, and I've owned it for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and then I move out of it, and I move into a rental property, not my rental property, somebody else's property that I'm renting. I still own the original house, and I just rent it out, or I don't even rent it out. I just haven't lived in it for 2 years. It's 3 years, 4 years later. I now am qualified for a first-time home buyer, as a first-time home buyer. Now, whether it gets me anywhere because of what I've done in the past, we'll see. But I have not lived in the residence that I am residence. I haven't owned it for at least 2 years.
Yeah, and the living in it is the other key there. And last thing, just to make sure that people are clear on this, there's a $10,000 lifetime. What was it? It's not a credit. What would you call it? A lifetime limit? A lifetime usage limit?
Usage, basically. There's a distribution exclusion.
Of $10,000 cumulative throughout your lifetime.
And that's cumulative from IRAs, whether it's traditional or Roth. Whether it's, you took 6 out of your traditional IRA and 4 out of your Roth of the earnings or vice versa, it doesn't matter. It's $10,000.
Right, of tax-free. Now, if you ever took money out of your
traditional IRA is not tax-free. It's just penalty-free for first-time home purchase.
You're right, yes. But if you took it out and...
Well, my son is taking $7,000 out of his Roth IRA over the earnings, tax-free and penalty-free, but he's taking another $3 out of his traditional IRA, taxable, but penalty-free.
But penalty-free, okay.
$10,000 total.
877-PLANNER is our number on the air. If you need the brain trust, or you can talk to Professor Plum or any of the brain trust advisors from Lucia Capital Group at their off-air number. Oddly enough, it's 800-644-1150. Write it down, 800-644-1150. Got another hour just ahead of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered...
Legal or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.